Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Que pasa, chicos and chicas? Welcome to a brand new episode of Geek Bites, brought to you by the
Geek
Buddies!
Hey! Together again, and it feels so good.
We got so much to get into today. This is a Geek Bites episode, but we felt that the timing was perfect to jump on and talk about all the Marvel stuff that's been happening over the last few days, especially on today. Well, and we should say this, happy Valentine's to everybody who celebrates it. And for people who don't, happy every other day that you feel the same way about the person you care about day. Welcome to that day. And we are going to talk about the Fantastic Four announcements. We're going to talk about the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer, and then some other Marvel news tidbits that might have popped across the board here to get to all of our reactions to it. But let's introduce ourselves first for those who may be popping it on for the first time. I am the Outlaw John Roker, writer, producer, and host here on the Geek Buddies.
I am Michael Vogel. I'm a writer and producer of animated TV shows and movies, and I love it when a geek bite turns into a geek meal. Let's do this thing.
Hey, this is Shannon McClung. I'm a television actor and an animation writer, where you can see some of our current work right now every weekend with Strawberry Shortcake, Barry in the Big City, Season 3.
It's for sure. This is a corner piece of the cake that we're doing. It's not just a slice of the bite. This is a whole corner piece.
Well, it was going to be. It was going to be just a nice little quick, let's talk about that Deadpool Wolverine trailer.
It was.
And then it was like, well, then we got some Fantastic Four news. And then what are the dates of the Marvel stuff coming out? And then are they going to be able to even land this plane? Let's see. Who knows? So it's going to be good. Let's do it.
Well, let's start off with that. That was the announcement that came over today. On Valentine's Day, they released a big post here on their Instagram and their social media there of the cast members, Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Emma Moss Bachrach, and Johnny Quinn, all there, essentially drawn there into that picture. And clearly you can see an astronaut there behind Ben Grimm. Ben Grimm, if you look in closely, it looks like he's looking at a Life magazine from the 1960s where Lyndon Johnson was on the cover. And then you have Herbie bringing up a drink there. But that is officially the cast, officially where they're going with this. And just need to say, the hot mic, Jeff Snyder broke this story on the hot mic, said it was the first person to tell you who this cast was going to be. And 6 months later, it has come true finally. So, gentlemen, your reactions here. I know we talked about it on a previous Geek Buddies episode, but now that it's official, what are you all's overall thoughts with this cast and the setting here, which seems to be sometime in the 1960s?
I mean, that's the biggest question, right? Is where does this iteration of the Fantastic Four exist? Yeah. Is this in our universe? Is this in an alternate universe where they are, you know, permanently stuck in the 1960s? I mean, I love the look of Ben Grimm. That is classic thing,
yeah,
right there. Taking in their outfits, I mean, that, like, Reed's, Pedro Pascal's, I mean, that almost looks like a Fantastic Four sweater.
Yeah,
I mean, it just has this Norman Rockwell, yeah, really familial, really wholesome. I mean, it just looks like something you would have seen in a Pan Am magazine in the early 1960s. So, I mean, you know, as you had said, like, Jeff broke that a little while ago. So we kind of figured this was the cast. But now to finally have that official announcement, yeah, very, very exciting. And now the clock starts. And all right, who else? Who are our bad guys? Let's find out.
Right, for sure. Michael, your thoughts here on this, now that it's officially the cast, what are your thoughts here?
Officially, I am glad that Pedro Pascal is ribbed for our pleasure. So there's that.
That's
but
the next
aside
trailer.
From that,
oh my God.
I think this is great. Look, as you said, Jeff broke this a while ago, so you brought it to us. We talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, it was out there. This is kind of the cast that everybody was circling around as far as the rumors, and it's nice that it's not a rumor. It's nice that this is the cast. This is a good cast. These are good actors. Mm-hmm. every single one of them has proven that they have the chops to do some serious acting. Every single one of them is pretty much, in my opinion, perfect for the role that they are playing.
Okay.
And for the good of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, all four of these are heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Marvel, and look, Marvel has a great bench of characters that they've introduced over phases 4 and 5.
Yeah.
And the characters that have returned have been solid, but there hasn't really been that who is leading the Marvel Universe. Who is our Tony and Steve? You know, we don't really know.
Yeah.
Peter Parker is stuck in Marvel Sony land. It looked like it was going to be Chadwick Boseman, and then tragically it wasn't. This is a cast that can lead a universe.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal can lead a universe. So okay. That is good. As far as the timeline and like where and when it takes place,
Yeah. Interesting
and also maybe makes me a little nervous.
Okay.
Look, everybody for years has wanted Fantastic Four to be a period piece. Everyone feels like the Fantastic Four kind of feels like that retro 60s vibe, something about them, more so than some of the other Marvel characters that started in different eras. The Fantastic Four always felt like their story kind of belonged in the age of space exploration and the 60s and everything else. And, you know, the versions that we got were not that.
Yeah.
And nobody likes the versions that we got. So just Fantastic Four on its own, taking place in the 60s, great.
Yeah.
But, okay, if it's the 60s of the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
right.
The fact that we've never heard about four astronauts that went up, got exposed to gamma rays, and got strange and fantastic powers would seem odd. So if it's not our universe, so is it our universe and then something about their adventure made us all forget about them? Possible.
Right.
Is this another universe? And if it is another universe, is this a universe where they are the only heroes of that universe?
Good question.
Is this the universe where the mutants are currently and Monica Rambeau is currently trapped and the Fantastic Four are good buddies with Professor X and Hank McCoy? You know, where is
good
it?
Good question. It's a good question.
And if they were in that universe, they're in the 60s. Are they still around? So like there's a bunch of questions about how it ties in, which, you know, some people can listen right now and be like, who the fuck cares? If we get a good Fantastic Four movie, we get a good Fantastic Four movie. And while that is true, Marvel cares because they need something to tie this cinematic universe together. And the Fantastic Four seems to be the thing that could do it. So for my money, we missed him. Missed him and he's back. Thank God. For my money, the easiest thing, and again, this doesn't mean that this is what they're going to do, but oh my God, I want you to go back to Bora Bora.
Yes.
But if they are in their own universe and they're in the 60s and part of their movie is that there is an incursion and their universe is maybe destroyed and that brings them to another universe. Like Reed Richards being one of the ones that's going to be key in figuring out what's going on with all these incursions, why these incursions are happening and how to either prevent these incursions or try to prevent these incursions seems like to be a key part of what you need in a Secret Wars story. So wherever the Fantastic Four may be and whenever that may be, likely the 60s, I'm sure that their movie will be bringing them into contact with our universe.
Yeah, you look at this magazine. This is what I'm talking. This is the magazine. This is the actual magazine. It's from December 13th, 1963. So only a couple of weeks or maybe 3 weeks after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, which was in November 22nd of 1963, right? So this is Lyndon Johnson taking over the presidency from John Kennedy. So is this connected in some way to something that they want to tell here in the movie? Or in the movie could be really interesting. And if you look at this poster again, who is that behind them in the astronaut outfit? Is that supposed to be Evan Moss Bachrock? Or who is that?
That is 100% him.
Yeah, okay. That's Evan Moss Bachrock.
Just want to make sure.
I mean, that's their way of getting him in the photo.
Yeah.
Without getting him in the photo. Like
he's
gonna turn into Ben Grimm. Like we are going to hear him a lot. I don't know how much we're gonna see him, but by having Ben Grimm's photo, but it brings up a good point, which is by having Ben Grimm in the photo in the background, and clearly having him in a spacesuit. It does indicate that they are going with a classic origin story.
Yeah.
Like, this is not going to be some new take on how they all got in a giant collider in Hank Pym's lab and got strange powers. Like, Ben Grimm's an astronaut.
Yeah.
It seems that they are going up into space and doing the gamma rays, and that Marvel is going to give us the classic Fantastic Four story that we've never gotten. Now, again, how that ties into everything else that's going on, that's the bigger question. But the fact that we're getting a classic FF story does seem to be the way we're leaning.
Yeah, I like the cast. I think it's a good cast. A cast that has worked in numerous different genres. So you've got some really strong cast members a part of that. I see some people already pushing back on Pedro Pascal. It's to be expected. You're never going to satisfy everybody on Reed Richards. And, you know, I see some people going, see, they went anti-woke or they went woke because they didn't make it an all white cast. It's like, you know, everybody just grow up. This is a different time. And we'll see if it's set in the 60s. Listen, we've seen this before from Marvel, right? Captain America set in the 1940s. Wakes up in the modern day, there's a possibility that something happens with them on some sort of mission and they wake up in the modern day, have to deal with all this multiverse madness that's going on. And Reed Richards has to be one of these people, as you said, that deals with the incursions, deals with what's going on, figures this all out. It's no, how can I say this? It's no coincidence that right after we get a Deadpool, a Wolverine trailer deals with the TVA and the multiple changes in that multiverse, we get here now an announcement for this cast. How are they going to play into all of this? So a lot of questions. The other part of this is that they announced the release date. Shannon, July 25th, 2025, which is 2 weeks after Superman Legacy. I tweeted this out just to poke the bear a little bit and said, keep telling me there's no problems between Feige and Gunn, but he's going to place Fantastic Four up against Superman Legacy 2 weeks later. So this to me feels like a little bit of Big Brother, Little Brother poking each other, whether from anger or from a little friendly rivalry. What do you think about the date, and what do you think about them placing it against Superman Legacy 2 weeks later?
Well, I mean, after about 2 weeks, unless Superman is just an absolute runaway hit, I mean, 2 weeks for a big summer movie, that's kind of the number one shelf life.
Okay.
You know, Superman's going to come out, it's going to be number one. Again, right. If it's a huge, huge hit, and Fantastic Four, if, you know, if we get sort of a Solo situation where you hear all of this trouble, like, is there a world where Superman beats Fantastic Four 3 weeks after it comes out? Maybe. But also, the summer is kind of a finite time. There are only so many dates. And with Thunderbolts coming out at the beginning of May now.
May 2nd,
It makes sense that, because I feel like they've done this before. They've had a film come out the first weekend in May, and they put the second movie, they kind of bump it back to the end of July. So, I mean, we have heard the stories that there maybe is some tension between Gunn and Feige.
Yeah.
I don't think the release date is a direct result of that, but I could be wrong.
What are your thoughts, Mike? Because they moved Thunderbolts out of this to essentially say you're not going to own this month. Because obviously Superman Legacy would probably, beat out Thunderbolts after the first week. Maybe it might level out. What were your do you think this was done to be like, oh, you're going to play the game? We're going to play our big boys here at this time as well. What do you think of this announcement for the date and the moving up of this film that supposedly happening on May 2nd?
If anything, I think it just shows supposedly happening.
I'm just saying.
I think it shows that they have confidence in Fantastic Four. Like, look, all of your poking the bear, they're trying to get each other, this is a jab, let me show you something, buddy. Both DC and Marvel have a shit ton to prove.
That's true. It's a fair point.
They can swing all the dicks they want, but there are hundreds of people working at Warner Brothers and at Disney right now who are like, guys, we got to nail this. So if they've all agreed that they're going to bring Fantastic Four out 2 weeks after James Gunn's Superman Legacy intro to his version of his DC universe, if they're not feeling good about it, they're faking it really well.
Okay. All right.
Like that, this is a sign of confidence. Like, look, Shannon's right. After 2 weeks, I mean, Superman Legacy will have done the majority of what it's going to do. And if it actually is a Spider-Man No Way Home level, holy shit, they got Superman right.
Yeah.
It'll be maintaining, but Fantastic Four is still going to probably own that weekend. So what'll be really interesting to see is what happens in the following weeks after that. Like, does Fantastic Four go the way of every other Marvel movie recently and have sort of a mediocre opening and instantly drop off?
Yeah.
Or does it beat Superman Legacy and we see Superman Legacy drop down? Or are people so happy? I mean, and on this, honestly, this would be what every one of us wants to have happen, which is Superman Legacy is so good that Fantastic Four barely beats it out because it's doing so great in its third week. And then Fantastic Four is so good that the two of them ride the rest of the summer out and just both kill it at the box office, because that would mean that geeks are, for once, very happy with both of their comic book universes.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing because you look at it kind of like a Super Bowl, right? We just saw a Super Bowl, one team beat the other team in overtime. What's this situation going to be like if Legacy comes out and it's great, but Fantastic Four comes out and it's middling? Or if Superman Legacy comes out and it's middling and Fantastic Four comes out and it's great? Because if Fantastic Four comes out and it is great and Superman Legacy is middling, I mean, how much farther are you going with the DC Universe under James Gunn and Peter Safran? It's a hell of a shot to be putting them toe-to-toe with each other, because one might come out really taking the knockout by the time that month is over.
And most important, look, I know that there's probably a few movies that haven't been announced and things will shuffle around, but correct me if I'm wrong here, in that we have Deadpool and Wolverine, obviously, which we're going to talk about in a second. Yep. Then we have Agatha, House of Harkness, or whatever the hell it's called now.
Darkhold Diaries.
There it is. House of Harkness was better. We got Agatha, Darkhold Diaries coming out this October, end of this year.
Right.
Then
Captain America Brave New World.
Captain America Brave New World. It's a threefer. It's Captain America Brave New World, Thunderbolts, Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And after that, what? It's Blade and supposedly. then two Avengers movies?
Yeah. Supposedly Blade and the two Avengers movies. Only one movie in 2026 so far with Avengers, whatever they're going to call that. And then Avengers Secret Wars on May 7th. That's what it is.
So right, taking Blade out of it for a second, what that means is next year.
We're talking movies, not TV shows. So yeah.
Right. That next year, the mess that is the MCU right now, you know, where is Shang-Chi? What do these bands mean? Where is Monica Rambeau? What are Doctor Strange and Clea doing fighting incursions? Like, the list of things, the giant Eternal that's floating in the ocean that I think Brave New World is going to deal with. But like, there's the whole list of things that these three movies, Captain America, Thunderbolts, Fantastic Four, are teeing up Avengers. By the time we get done with Fantastic Four, Blade aside, which will introduce vampires and probably have something to do with stuff, Fantastic Four has to get us kind of where we were by the end of like Ragnarok, Black Panther, where we were like, we were ready to dive into Endgame.
Right. But do you think this is
a tall order?
Speaking of tall orders, Shannon, I'll go back to you. Matt Shagman, do you think you can get this done and out by July 25th? This is February already, almost halfway through February. We're halfway through February. They haven't even started production. They just announced the cast. I mean, Superman Legacy has the leg up right now on getting the production going and all of that. So do you think he has enough time, or do you think one of them is going to move off the schedule or move back or move up in the schedule?
I think if you move Fantastic Four, then the entire schedule has to shift. Potentially. And that could be as simple as Fantastic Four, you bump it to holiday 2025, and maybe that doesn't affect Avengers at all, or maybe I think if they start in April, let's say they start in April, that is a solid 15 months. Okay. Now, for a normal big budget movie, that's plenty of time, because your principal photography is going to be anywhere between 3 months, maybe stretching to 5 months, but that's a lot. But you also factor in that Marvel's always does reshoots. They always have some sort of additional photography that they do. I think it is enough time.
Okay.
And just because they announced it today doesn't mean that this deal hasn't been done for a minute.
But 100%.
They were choosing when, they have their principal cast lined up. They're just choosing when to announce it. So I think there is plenty of time. But they don't have much outside of it. That would be my guess.
But the reports have been coming in, and Shannon, you can readdress this as Michael does. The reports have been coming in that they might not be shooting until the third quarter of the year. Now, does that strike you as logical or possible, or do you think they announced this date and they're now going to ratchet up production much more quickly than that? Because Panther's apparently been moving stuff around his schedule to make it happen?
I mean, if they start in July, that's tight. Like that's pretty tight for a big budget film. Yes.
Okay. What do you think, Michael? Does this let us know that maybe it's not that big of a budget of a film, that they're going to limit the special effects and keep it much more ground-based? What do you think about this tight turnaround?
I would like for you to walk through the powers of the Fantastic Four and explain to me how you think they are going to tighten that visual effects budget.
I know. I'm not. We might not be in space, though. We might not go to space. We're just focused
on
water.
Maybe we won't be in space. One of them is on fire. One of them's invisible. One of them is a giant rock. And one of them is Elastigirl. Like, it is like, I don't know what to tell you, man. It's a big visual effects movie. It does sound tight. It does sound tight. When you think about the fact that we've been talking Superman Legacy casting and Superman Legacy announcements for months and months.
Yeah.
And they've been getting moving on getting the actors all ready and trained and all the things that you do to get ready for initial photography. And then you look at this one kind of getting this announcement, which we obviously has been in the ether for a while. And it's coming out 2 weeks later. You're like,
yeah.
Again, you're either really confident or you're really desperate, or realistically you're a healthy dose of both.
So you both think that if they get their films done in time, they will absolutely not move either one of these. Neither one of these are going to move. They're going to hit their spots.
I think Shannon's right that, like, if it all of a sudden moved from July into like holiday, I don't think that, yes, we all want to see Fantastic Four in the summertime. If we all went on Thanksgiving and had Thanksgiving with the Fantastic Four, I think things would probably keep moving as well as they were. And I don't think it's drastically going to change things. I do think that coming out swinging and saying this is when the movie, coming out and being like, this is when the movie's coming out. It's not going to be good optics for Marvel if they move it, but yeah, I would rather they had bad optics and give us a good movie than have good optics and give us a rush movie.
Yeah. Do you agree, Shannon, or anything more?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Because again, I mean, when you think about the Fantastic Four, like what is the big thing about Fantastic Four? It's family. If it were to come out at Thanksgiving, who do we typically see? If you are celebrating Thanksgiving, on average, you're probably seeing your family. So, I mean, I think that move would actually make sense. But as Vogel already said, if you've put that stake in the ground, I think at this point it probably wouldn't look great if you moved it.
Yeah. And one last thing, thoughts on the logo. Do you like this kind? I mean, it's this old Cinerama Dome type of logo here, the circle. And this is very postmodern 60s type of vibe. So do you guys like this logo overall, or do you think the logo is kind of a little disappointing? What are your thoughts?
I mean, if this is what they are doing, then yeah, I think that logo is great. I mean, that reminds me of, like, you know, Tomorrowland at Disney World. From like the 60s and the 70s. And also leaning into that 60s thing, like we already talked about, like that was the age of space exploration. Right. That was also the age of the Beatles. And, you know, having these four people who are in many versions are very, very famous. I think everything from a design standpoint lines up perfectly for them to be set in the 60s.
Okay.
Yeah. Michael, I agree. I love it. I mean, I think it definitely feels, and if you bring up the image again, not only do I love the logo because I think it has that retro 60s, art deco kind of vibe to it. But one thing we didn't talk about, I mean, when you really look at the way they posed everybody, I mean, the way that Sue and Reed are kind of dancing together, Johnny kind of looking at like that, you know, 1950s Eddie Haskell kind of like with his sitting on the back of the chair, looking at Ben, and then Ben just in his easy chair reading his magazine while Herbie hands him a cup of coffee, you know, just like the whole thing is very family warm. Like this isn't the 20th Century Fox, like four badasses in their costumes, like looking at you flexing, like these guys are badasses. Like this is a silly family having fun together.
Yeah.
And that is correct. So, you know, like whenever we as comic book fans see these things, sometimes you look at something and you're like, I feel like the studio is trying to feed us something that is not the right thing. This is just like when Marvel did Peter Parker in Civil War. And within 5 minutes, we were all like, yep, that's Peter Parker. That's correct. This feels like that. And that's what Marvel really needs right now, is they need a movie like this to come out and for all of us to go, man, Marvel, you've been flailing around for a couple of years, but we've had three shitty Fantastic Four movies, and you just stuck the landing.
Yeah, and I'll throw this out here because, I mean, Tony Stark, 1960s. Howard Stark, 1960s. There's possibilities there. And look, we had Captain Marvel in the 90s, and no one knew about it except the special government source. So
sure, but like,
could they hide that? Could Howard hide that? You know,
sure, but to be fair, Nick Fury in Avengers says that when Thor came to Earth, that was the first time they had ever seen aliens. And then Captain Marvel came out and we were like, well, okay, I guess we can squint our eyes and say Nick Fury was lying and that this isn't just like a thing they decided down the line. But Captain Marvel landing and a bunch of Skrulls running around in secret versus, again, a group of astronauts going up in space and coming back with crazy strange powers. Like, the last thing you want to do with a Fantastic Four movie is have them running around in the 1960s and have to constantly justify why nobody knows that the most famous superhero family in the world exists.
Yeah. The Fantastic Four Neuralizer, I guess. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll jump into the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer right after this. Hello, Geek Buddies fans. Before we jump into today's episode, let's give a warm thank you to our sponsor, Marquee TV. Their support is why we're able to bring this podcast to you. Marquee TV isn't just any streaming service. They're your gateway to an incredible world of arts and culture.
That's right, Johnny. I've explored Marquee TV, and I've been amazed by their vast library of performances, exclusive interviews, and behind-the-scenes content. It is a treasure trove for any arts and culture lover. Right now, I'm in the middle of watching the Royal Shakespeare Company's production of The Tempest, and I've also got my eye on that Shakespeare masterclass taught by Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah, Shannon, and speaking of the RSC, I watched Christopher Eccleston's performance of Macbeth last night, and I'm going to jump into Kit Harington's performance of Henry V from the Donmar Warehouse.
Imagine having the world's most breathtaking ballets, dramatic theater productions, and magical operas at your fingertips. That's the experience Marquee TV offers, making the arts accessible wherever you are.
And we've got a special treat for our listeners. Marquee TV offers 3 months of access for just 99 cents. That's right. 3 months for only 99 cents with the code BUDDIES, B-U-D-D-I-E-S. Simply visit marquee.tv and use the promo code BUDDIES to dive into the world of arts like never before. Bring the arts home with Marquee TV. Get 3 months for just 99 cents. Visit marquee.tv to start your journey into the world of arts now. Use code BUDDIES.
Explore the extensive library of performances on Marquee TV today and keep up with the latest in art streaming by following at Marquee TV on social media.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, you don't have to sing.
Wow. Wow.
All right, the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer came out here. A lot of things to talk about. It broke all kinds of records. I think it's the most watched trailer ever in a 24-hour period. We had a lot of things in this trailer here, including some returning characters like Negasonic Teenage Warhead. We also had a shot of what is possibly Patch in this thing. Colossus was in this thing. We also got possibly the back of Charles Xavier's head. The return of Pyro, which is, of all the people to bring back, what an interesting choice. The TVA with a brand new design. Matthew McFadden as a representative of the TVA. And I don't even know what this picture is. Oh, yeah, and everybody else from Deadpool 2 there being a part of this thing. So, gentlemen, your overall thoughts on this trailer. What did you think? Michael, go. What did you think of this trailer, bud?
Very excited. Little cautious.
Okay.
I'm curious, basically, and I mean, I think this is really what it breaks down to. We all love Deadpool.
Yes.
And we're all excited to see Ryan Reynolds come into the MCU.
Yes.
Based on the trailer, I'm curious how much of this movie is about fourth wall breaking and how much of this movie is not.
Ooh,
because a little bit of fourth wall breaking goes a long way.
Right.
A lot of fourth wall breaking, everything falls apart.
So you're saying the pegging line, that's, you're good with just one pegging line is what you're saying.
I mean, who's not good with pegging? Well, here's what it really boils down to. Like Deadpool's, and when you look at Deadpool 1 and you look at Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
For the most part, the way that Deadpool breaks the fourth wall, which is great, is he comments on the movie as it's happening and he says things that we would say. So Colossus says, I'm taking you to Professor X. And he goes, McAvoy or Stewart, ugh, these timelines are so confusing. And no one in the movie really comments on it.
Right.
Like Colossus doesn't start and go, what are you talking about? Who's McAvoy? Who's Stewart? Like, what is all this? Like, it's just Deadpool sort of commenting and it's really funny. Or you get like a post-credit sequence like in Deadpool 2 or an end-credit sequence in Deadpool 2 where he goes around and, you know, shoots Ryan Reynolds in the head so he doesn't make Green Lantern and shoots his older version self in the head from Wolverine. And you're like, that's really funny. Him entering the MCU and doing everything, like why the TVA wants him. Like I've seen people online with just fucking gonzo theories.
Oh yeah.
Like about like he's getting the entire 20th Century Fox group together to fight Disney and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay guys, if that's where this movie goes, we're in full disaster territory. But as long as the TVA has a valid reason for what they want Deadpool specifically to be doing, and it sort of does bring in all of these universes and we get some fun winks and nods to the fact that this is really about cinematic universes, but the movie itself is about multiple universes and all these things going on, it can work. But just based on the way the trailer lays out, like, you know, if he's Marvel Jesus, how much do people know about Marvel? Like, that's sort of the questions that come up. How much of that is just a fun throwaway line?
Yeah.
How much of this is key to the TVA's plan? So there's a lot of questions. As I've rewatched the trailer a few times now, I feel like they're going to do it right. I feel like they're going to err on the side of what it should be. But some of y'all's theories on Twitter are fucking batshit insane. And if that's what it is, y'all don't want it.
Yeah, I agree. It's like someone posted something on Reed Richards. They're like, if they said it back then, they can do this. I'm like, will you fucking stop? Slow down. Shannon, your thoughts on the Shannon Wolverine trailer overall, what you thought from what we got here and some of the teases that were within this thing?
I mean, I really enjoyed it. I mean, of the trailers that were probably going to air a spot during the Super Bowl, I mean, this was the one that I was looking forward to the most because, like any Marvel fan right now, you're thirsty. You're thirsty for something fun, for something that is a throwback to what we had, the excitement levels that we had during like phase 2 and phase 3, even phase 1. But also you want to see like, how is this exactly going to work? Like, I do agree with Vogel, Ryan Reynolds breaking that fourth wall. I don't recall in Deadpool 1 or Deadpool 2 if that's sort of like, what do you mean? What are you talking? Like, I don't think that happened. When you are including so much of like, you know, they're basically showing a clip, clip footage of the past Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, what does this mean to Agent Paradox or Mr. Paradox, whoever Matthew McFadden is playing? Yeah. It feels right. Like, I agree with Vogel. It does feel right. I mean, I think I definitely wanted more Hugh Jackman. But again, this is the first teaser. There's going to be plenty of time for that to come out. I think that what we did get, that silhouette shot that they put together, I'm like, that was a great, great shot. And getting a sense of Deadpool's point of view of Wolverine based off the moment that he snicks his claws. You're like, nope, never mind. Like, watching Deadpool putting him on his heels, I think could be a really, really fun thing for them to play with.
Yeah. Michael, you want to chime in?
Well, I think, you know, like I said, the theories have been wild, but like when you're really breaking down this trailer, okay, Wade's life is basically pretty solid.
If this is the actual Wade that we've seen in the first two films. Yeah.
It's the actual Wade. He time traveled to, you know, take back some fridging and like everyone's happy. Like, if they don't make a fridging joke, I swear to God, they better make a fridging joke.
Shatterstar is dead, literally shattered in the last film. So,
clearly what happened at the end of Deadpool 2, where he took Cable's little, time watch and went and did all that stuff. Like, that's canon. Like, he went back and brought everybody back to life. Yeah, he brought Vanessa back to life. Like, he's, and because of the stuff he did. Now, it's likely that the TVA is showing up at his door, partially because he went and fucked with a bunch of timelines. So that's how Deadpool 2 ended. So the TVA showing up makes sense. Matthew McFadden shows up. They clearly want Deadpool for something. Now, if they want Deadpool for his fourth wall breaking abilities, I think this movie's in trouble.
Ooh.
Okay. Now, if they want Deadpool because he is basically invulnerable, he's already been jumping around in timelines, and the TVA is not really supposed to be pruning timelines anymore, but they want an assassin who can jump around through time and kill people for them. Okay, that feels good. You know, like, so like, and I'm putting even money right now that Matthew McFadden's a villain of this movie.
Oh, interesting. As a member of the TVA.
The TVA, like, just to back up and nerd out for a second, when last we left the TVA, they put their violent timeline pruning ways behind them and were a kinder, gentler TVA that was just monitoring things to make sure that no Kang showed up.
Right.
Very easy. This TVA, it looks a bit more aggressive, and we clearly see Wade, Deadpool killing a bunch of them later in the movie. So there's going to be pruning. There's going to be battles. I think maybe there's a portion of the TVA like that they have to be so kind and gentle now. And maybe.
And then he
gets mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can you repeat that last line?
You have me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just that Matthew McFadden, perhaps, and his portion of the TVA have Wade doing stuff for him, and Wade either finds out that it's not cool, or they have Wade try and kill someone that he doesn't want to kill, or something happens, Wade rebels, and he's going to get sent to the void. And he's going to find a bunch of people that got pruned, including a bunch of former 20th Century Fox cast members. You know, I mean, that literally seems like where things are kind of ending up, and then he's going to stick it to everybody. So that might not be the movie at all, but based on the trailer and not getting into crazy fourth wall breaking, we're going to break down the movie universes. That seems to be a more within the universe thing that contextualizes a lot of the stuff that we're seeing.
Okay. Is this Xavier? Is this McAvoy, or is this Stewart? Because it looks like McAvoy from behind.
It looks like McAvoy.
It's a younger head. Yeah.
And where he's sitting looks like the what we've seen in the trailer that looks like it's the Void.
Yes, right.
And to, and to be clear, I mean the Void from Loki season one, where once you prune people, they go, and Eliath, the giant purple smoke dragon, attacks you, which we basically, I think, see Eliath in this trailer.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what that's going. Yeah, right. That big loud, big thing. He's like, oh my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Shannon, is this McAvoy? Do you agree?
I mean, it's not. It doesn't look like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah,
that's what I would say. Of the two, it's definitely McAvoy. But there could be, I mean, it could be somebody else. And looking at that, like, even though, like, I do see a little bit of the, I see a little bit of the Void there. Part of me is also like, is that kind of like downtown Sokovia? Because, you know, we see him pop up in that snowy forest that sure looks like the beginning of Age of Ultron. So
I hadn't thought of that.
Who knows?
Okay. All right. What about this patch situation? Here, do we think this is patch? What's going on with this one? Mike or Shannon, what do you think this? What do you think this is? I've seen people speculating that this could be the actual Wolverine that we're going to get in the MCU, and this is the way they're introducing it. Do you believe this? What do you think? For those who don't know, this is Patch in the comics. So essentially, this is what might be with the hair from behind there. So.
For those that don't know, Patch is the world's stupidest alias that Wolverine, one of the most iconic hairdos in life, put an eye patch on, went to Madripoor, said his name was Patch, and no one knew he was Wolverine.
Well, he put a tuxedo jacket on. Like, yeah, that is.
Hey guys, where's Michael? Where's Michael? It's me, Patch.
Ah. Oh, what do you thought, Jen? You were saying, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You were saying,
well, I mean, that is very clearly a Logan. Is it Hugh Jackman? We don't know. But that looks like a Logan in a white tuxedo jacket. And it looks like he's probably in some sort of casino. So the odds are that, yes, that's Madripoor. Yes, that's him in his patch form.
Okay.
But again, the whole idea that this is going to establish who the new Wolverine could be. I don't know. I mean, do I think that looks like Hugh Jackman? I mean, we were talking about this on our text thread earlier. I'm like, I get maybe those shoulders. Maybe that isn't Hugh Jackman. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. What do you thoughts here, Mike?
We've been hearing this is how they're going to introduce mutants into the MCU literally for a decade now.
It's true.
Every time something happens, this is it.
Get ready.
Here it comes. This isn't it. This is a plot point for a Deadpool movie. Now, is it Hugh Jackman as Patch in Madripoor in his universe or some other universe? Mm. Maybe. Is it another person that's playing a version of Logan, a variant? Maybe. Okay. But I don't think that all of this, like, just it doesn't make sense. I know we saw Madripoor in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yes.
But to say that all of a sudden this is a Logan that has been living in the MCU and masquerading as a guy named Patch, and this is the first we're ever seeing him, but mutants are everywhere. Like, this is not it. Like, there is a world where it looks like right now,
yeah,
based on the end credits of Marvel's, there is a world that looks very much either like the Fox Universe X-Men or the 90s art animated X-Men or some version thereof.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that's where they go. I don't know, but I don't know. I'm still not convinced that that's not just Hugh Jackman. I know they don't show his face.
Right.
But, like, it makes a lot more sense to me to have one Logan in this movie and have a scene where Deadpool is like, hey, you should go undercover, put on this eye patch. It's really stupid. And then he does. Like, yeah, he does. That seems a lot simpler to me.
But no, but could they be introducing Dr. Doom as well? What do we think is going on here with this shot? I mean,
Hard no. Hard that, no.
The fact that people were going crazy online saying that George Costanza motherfucker was Dr. Doom, I was like, get out of here. Look at that schlubby guy. Get out of here.
Here I come. Oh, here I come.
Oh.
By the way, that is like, that's the Costco Dr. Doom. Like, oh, come on, no. Get out of here.
Wow, wow. Well, we lost them as a sponsor. Your thoughts are shit. Because I was watching it, and it went by so fast that I was like, what? And then when I took a screen grab as I was doing my trailer reaction, I was like, I could see why you might think that, but it's certainly not. And I don't know if this would be the way they'd introduce him, and I agree. I
mean, hi guys, welcome to Latveria.
It could be a variant Dr. Doom, though, couldn't it? Could be a variant Dr. Doom from some other time. I've seen this theory, and I saw someone mention this, and I thought I'd bring it up. Do you think Matthew McFadden could be the low-key Dr. Doom? As you said, he might be the villain of this movie. There's rumors that this is going to lead into secret. It's going to be seeds that lead into Secret Wars in this movie. And could it be, because you got to pick the champion, could Doom be, as you said, the main villain? Could this be their kind of back doorway of introducing, and McFadden would be an interesting Dr. Doom? Do you guys think this is bullshit? What do you think?
I mean,
that's what At the Roca says said. He tweeted that out, so I don't know.
Oh, did At the Roca says say? Wow.
Very reliable source.
How dare you? Yeah.
It would be here's the pros and cons of that. Like Shannon and I were actually just talking about this the other day. Like Dr. Doom is just such a tough thing to adapt.
It really is.
Like, and Shannon was like, do you think it's the costume? Do you think it's the fact that he's the leader of a nation? Do you think it's the fact that he's a sorcerer? And I'm like, none of those things are actually, Marvel has proven that they can take comic book accurate looks and make them work for a movie.
Sure.
We have sorcerers and magic. That's not an issue. Some bad guy being the leader of a European nation, like no big deal, but he's just so comic booky in his villainy.
Yes. I mean,
he's a dude in a giant metal suit and a green cape who wields magic, uses science, and is arrogant as fuck.
Yeah.
So how you sort of ground that into a movie character is hard. Making him a member of the TVA that goes rogue is not the worst. A lot of hardcore comic book fans would be very upset about it. But if I were a Marvel executive and you came in and pitched me that, I would not out of hand kick it out. I would be like, okay, let's carry this through and see. There's a lot of sense to this. So I don't hate it off the top of it. I don't know that it's true, but I don't hate that idea. The other thing that people are freaking out about this trailer is just really quick on the note is in the final shot where Deadpool is laying there before Wolverine snicks.
Yeah.
In the wider shot in the trailer off to the left.
Yes.
There is a Secret Wars comic book from the 2015 run with Dr. Doom on the cover. So everybody went completely batshit about that too. So although that schlubby guy is not Dr. Doom, technically because of the comic book cover, it is true that Dr. Doom does make an appearance in the Deadpool 3 trailer.
That's a good point. Well, what did you guys think of seeing why were we seeing scenes from Winter Soldier in the trailer? What is the overall goal in this?
It's just a highlight reel. It wasn't just Winter Soldier. It was Age of Ultron. There was some
Iron Man,
Ragnarok in there. Yeah. It's just a highlight reel. I don't think there's any significance to that particular movie.
No.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, what were we gonna say, Mike?
It's funny because the way it's all cut.
Yeah.
Ending with his whole "I'm Marvel Jesus" line, and this is where I think people are maybe getting a little veered off. Is it does make it sound basically like Matthew McFadden's like, "This is the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Would you like to join it?" But I think that's sort of meta for the trailer. I think he's like, we need you to do this thing. There's this world of heroes. Like, I don't think that it's fully, he's being like, this is the MCU.
Do you want to join it? All right. What about Pyro? Why is Pyro back? Of all the people from X-Men 2 and X-Men Last Stand, why is Pyro back? I will take all theories.
Why not? I mean,
I think he's the least interesting person out of all the people that are actually in this movie. So they tossed him in this trailer and they're saving everybody. And given that we can now tell that Deadpool kind of goes to the void, it does make sense that that's where all of these heroes went, because that universe has collapsed.
Yeah. Disney bought the universe. Yeah, exactly.
So when we've heard that Jennifer Garner is going to come back as Elektra, that the X-Men are going to be, we're going to see these X-Men and those X-Men and this, like, I think he's in there along with probably every other fucking person that we've seen in a 20th Century Fox Marvel movie, and they're all in the void, and that's a plot point.
Listen, if Ben Affleck can keep doing Dunkin' Donuts commercials, I'll be goddamn if he can't slide on the Daredevil outfit again. So, you know, It's a little tight.
It's a little tight after all those donut holes.
He's looking good. Have you said? By the way, those sweats sold out in 40 minutes on DunkinDonuts.com. If you can believe it, sold out in 40 minutes. That's incredible. Anything more to say on this trailer that I missed or that you guys want to make sure we hit on that we didn't bring up? Because I know we're running out of time here. So,
well, as Shannon said, I mean, like, in addition to seeing the MCU and that stuff, it really does look like Deadpool is fighting the TVA in the same forest that the Avengers are in at the beginning of Age of Ultron.
Right.
So it does seem like it at some point in the movie, Deadpool is bouncing around in the MCU timeline.
Yeah.
At least a little bit. So I think that's something we can look forward to. And then I do think, just really quick, the thing to remember about this movie, the thing that actually makes the first Deadpool movie work really well and the second Deadpool movie work to a lesser degree, but still work, is that despite all the funny shit and all of the wacky R-rated humor and the violence and all the stuff that we love about a Ryan Reynolds movie, there's a strong heart there. And the heart is pretty much Wade and Vanessa.
Yes.
And so I think that don't forget that for this movie to work, in addition to bringing Deadpool into the MCU and doing all the multiversal stuff that we all talk about all day long, this has to just be a really solid love story.
Yeah. She calls him buddy. So where are they at in the relationship? That's a good
exactly. Situation. So I think that's a big thing to keep an eye out for as well, as we see more stuff coming out from the movie to kind of be a good indicator of, is this going to be good and solid as a Deadpool movie too? Or is this just going to be a wild multiversal romp?
Another part real quick. A lot of people are speculating this is the forest where Logan died, that it's just snowed over. And this is the other side of the tree. So, So, and see that overturned military vehicle, that could be what they were in. So, fuck, man, if that's the truth, because I mean, they said they're not going to fuck with Logan, that Logan is its own thing. They're not going to fuck with Logan, but clearly Disney owns Logan now, so they can do what they want with it. So maybe that is a part of it, which would, I don't know, you'd have to really make that work for me. That's the only one that I would be a little bit upset about if they fucked with
Logan. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. Any final words? Are we good?
Fingers crossed, guys. This is it. We're in the Marvel endgame now. Like, this is their endgame for can they actually land this plane?
There's only one ending we can get out of this with. All right. Let's wrap it up there. Shannon, what are we going to tell? Oh, wait. First, thank you, everybody, for watching this. We appreciate it. Or listening to us. You can always listen to us on the podcast feed. Shannon, what do we have to tell them?
Yeah, I'd like to follow us on social media. On Twitter, it's @geek_buddies. On Instagram, @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on social media, on Twitter, it's @Shannon_McClung. On Instagram, @ShannonTheGeekBuddy. If you would like to follow Mr. Vogel, it is @MKToon. If you would like to follow Mr. Roca, it is @TheRocaSays.
Mikey?
Don't forget to hit the like button. Subscribe to Johnny Roca's Outlaw Nation page. Check out all the amazing content he's got there. Leave your comments below. We've got a Fantastic Forecast. We've got a schedule for the next year of Marvel movies. We've got a Deadpool trailer. We got a whole bunch to talk about. Let us know below what you think about it. If you're listening to us in the podcast, leave us some stars and some comments so we go up in the rankings and more people can find us. And as always, the best thing you can do is retweet this video, post it on your socials, send it to your friends, and tell them to hang out with your buddies, the Geek Buddies.
There you go. Well, thanks so much for watching this episode of Geek Bites. We'll be back in just a couple of days with our main show there on Friday. We'll let you know when that's happening, and we'll look forward to you joining us again for another brand new episode of Geek Bites here, brought to you by the
Geek
Buddies. Hey!
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the planet?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.